Good morning. I want to invite you to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18 will be in verses 1 through 8. Well, Mother's Day is a special day for so many, and it's also a difficult day for many as well for a variety of reasons. And I just want to begin by saying wherever you are today, whatever your journey is, God sees you, and you are loved, and God knows your story, and you're probably not alone in what you're experiencing, and that's why we get to be family for each other, and so this is the right place for you to be. I know for many years, Mother's Day was a day that our family really didn't want to be at church on Mother's Day for several years. And now we are in a different season, and it's different for us. And so wherever you are today, I just hope you know we're very glad that you're here with us. Thank you for being here. There are three terrifying words that every child knows. When you hear these words, you are shaken to the very core of your being. And the three words are this: your first name, your middle name, and your last name. When you hear your mom say your first name, your middle name, or your last name, and your last name all in order, you know you are in big trouble, right? I don't remember specific times, I'm sure it happened a lot, but I remember hearing that, I just hear my mom's voice from the other room yelling out my name, all three names, Mark, Ryan, Hadley, where are you? And I just thought, okay, that backpack by the door has crackers and some toys in it. I could make a break for it, and I could probably be around the corner by the time she figures out I'm gone, or maybe I just need to accept my fate. But we know, we all had women in our lives, whether they were mothers or mentors or aunts or sisters that were older, people who helped us, who kicked us into gear, who maybe kicked our behind a little bit when we needed it. I remember one day my grandmother, my mom's mom, I called her Granny, and I don't remember what I was doing, but she gave me a spanking at her house. That's like, for those of you who are grandparents, like, we have crossed a threshold when Granny's got to give you a spanking. Like I said, I have no idea. I don't remember what I was doing, but I'm sure I was being a punk and deserved it. But I think the reason I remember that day, I remembered that that happened because I had crossed a line. And on that day, I realized you don't mess with Granny. I learned that day. And I'm sure every one of us in this room has had at least one woman in our life who wasn't afraid to rise up in wrath, to kick us into gear, and to keep us on track. Women are not to be messed with. Amen? Do not mess with women. Are you with me? Can I get an amen? Amen. Okay, I heard several lady voices saying amen there. I'm not sure the men get it yet. Do not mess with women. Okay, do we understand that? Amen? Okay, today I want us to hear this parable that Jesus tells in Luke 18, in which he holds up a woman as an example for us. So let's read these words and follow on the screen. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth. I love this parable. It's just so obvious and comic in its presentation of these two characters. They're just so classic. You've got this judge, and he's not just called a judge, like, hey, here's a judge, and you be the, you know, you determine whether or not he's a good guy. He's called the unjust judge. I mean, we might as well start a story with, once upon a time, there was a very, very, very bad guy, okay? Like, there was a man who lived in a deep, dark dungeon and wore a black cape and laughed evil laughs all the time. Like, you know what kind of story this is going to be. You know what kind of character this is going to be. We don't know all the reasons why he might have been considered unjust, but we do know that he's been trying to ignore the case of this widow, and that alone puts him on dangerous ground with God. Throughout the story of Scripture, we see God, how God cares for the widow and the orphan and the immigrant and the stranger and others who are vulnerable. God builds in protections into society, into the fabric of the laws of the people of Israel, so that they can be a people of justice. And there are specific commands in the law to care for these people, the fatherless, the widow. In Exodus chapter 22, we read these words where God says, "Do not take advantage of the widow or the fatherless. If you do, and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry. My anger will be aroused, and I will kill you with the sword. Your wives will become widows, and your children fatherless." This is one of those great verses where you don't have to guess how God feels. He doesn't say, you know what, if you don't stand up for widows and for the fatherless and for those who are at risk in your society, I will be mildly displeased. It might just annoy me a little bit. He doesn't say that. He says, I will kill you with the sword. That's pretty harsh and obvious. God seems to care about this a lot. And in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17, it says this about God's character: "For the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you. Give them food and clothing." This unjust judge obviously doesn't seem to care what God says about this. And it tells us in the story, I don't fear God. I don't care what God thinks. I don't care what other people think. Jesus wants us to know. He wants the hearers of this parable, he wants to make it clear that this widow faces a system that is stacked against her. And now let's talk about the widow. Widows were common, and their plight was common. And in the ancient world, it was not kind. The culture was not kind to widows. It was rough to be a woman in that society. If you were a woman in that society, especially if you were not married, if you were a widow or unmarried, you were undervalued. You were seen as less than. Your testimony wasn't credible. Your emotions were considered a curse and a nuisance. In a society built on patriarchy, a woman's identity is defined by the men in her life. So if she's a widow, that meant she didn't have any men in her life to give her identity. Widows were often poor, destitute, and without options. But Scripture tells several stories about women, about widows, who turn out to be women of great resolve, faith, and strength. And many of them made bold, daring, and even dangerous choices in order to survive. We think of Tamar and Naomi and Ruth and Orpah and Abigail, the wise woman of Tekoa, the widow of Zarephath, and many, many others. Rather than being relegated to the margins as poor and helpless, each of these women defies the expectations of her culture by becoming an agent in her own destiny and survival. And almost all of them are regarded later as heroes of faith. And the same is true of this woman in this parable. Something has happened to her, and she will not be quiet. She cries out. She speaks up. And that's why Jesus holds her up as a model of faith. Because when something isn't right, she steps up. She shows undaunted courage and audacity. And I think about us in this room today. How many of us are in this room? We are alive today. We didn't die, or we're not in jail because we made some horrible mistake or decision, because there was a faithful woman of God in our life who helped keep us on track. I don't know about you, but I would be just the worst of all people instead of what I am now, which is only slightly less than the worst of all people, because of the women in my life, mentors and teachers and aunts and grandmothers and my mother and women who were mothers to me, who cared enough about me to persist and to not give up, to pray for me and to kick me in the behind when I needed it. How many of us have been inspired by women who broke through walls and ceilings, who would not let the status quo stand when the status quo was wrong? This woman's tenacity reminds us of the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, who will not give up and will not let us go. And in that way, this woman's spirit embodies the good news for us today, the gospel, that when we went astray, God would not leave us alone. His relentless love pursued us and would not let us get away, and kept on being faithful to us. It's in this way that so many of us have seen the love of God in the faces of women who have loved us. And although the system is rigged against this widow, she keeps coming back, and she doesn't give up. She doesn't quit. So much so that the judge begins to fear for his own safety. Did you catch that in the story? He says, "Oh, I better give her what she wants, or she might come and attack me." That's not the language of, you know what, this is just sort of annoying, and it's kind of just grating on me. I'll just give in because I don't want to hear from her anymore. That's not what he says. He says, you know what, I don't care what people think. I don't even respect God, but this lady is so upset by what's happened to her, and she keeps coming back. I'm afraid she's going to come and hurt me. She's going to beat me up. The only other time, this term in the original language is a boxing term. And the only other place that it's used in Scripture is when Paul talks about that we beat against our own bodies, that we punch the air, we train, we shadow box to train our bodies. Why would we not do the same in our spiritual walk, to have godly training that helps us be more like Christ? That's the only other place that this language is used. This guy is saying, look, I'm afraid this lady's going to come and give me a black eye. She's going to burn down my house. She's going to slash my tires. She's going to burn down the village. I better give her what she wants. Judges of the world, beware. This woman will not stand by until she gets what she wants. Is the persistent widow the best name for this story? I mean, that's a name that someone gave to it at some point. It doesn't really call her that. That's a title that was given. Is that the most appropriate title? We've kind of tidied up the story by making this woman an innocent and poor and helpless victim. But did you hear how the text describes her? She is angry. Some translations even say that she doesn't come asking for justice, but vengeance. She comes asking for vengeance against her opponent. Again, we don't know what's happened, but we know that this woman has been wronged. She has been mistreated, she has been scorned, and she is done, and she is ferocious. And Jesus doesn't tell a story where this woman is told to stay in her place or told to get a hold of her emotions. Instead, he tells this story about her uncontrollable anger that will not be quenched, and he lifts it up as an example of what it looks like to live a godly life and to persist in bold faith and to pray courageously and to stand up for what's right. Jesus is saying, be like this woman when you pray and when you live and when you try to stand up for the things in this world that matter. Perhaps a better title would be The Fierce Woman of Valor. And I'm looking out today at a room, and I see a lot of fierce women of valor. And you need to know that your example of faith and leadership and tenacity and courage has not gone unnoticed. Keep going. Whether you're a mom or a sister or a coworker or a coach or a mentor or a boss, whatever your role in life is, whatever your relationships are to others, you inspire in the way that you are tenacious in caring about the people around you. So thank you for not giving up. And I want to encourage you today to keep going. Don't stop. Keep going. Today, I want to challenge us all to do three things in the days and weeks to come. And the first is to honor, to show honor. Which women do you know who exhibit godly and tenacious courage? Honor them today. Again, whether they're your mom or anyone's mom or no one's mom or a friend or a coworker or a neighbor or a teacher, a daughter, a sister, whoever they are, honor them today. And honor them specifically by affirming their God-given value. Work for equal treatment and opportunity and embrace full affirmation. If you have power or privilege of any kind, you are invited to use it for the sake of others. Men, I want to talk to you for a moment. Perhaps the best thing we as men could do today is to use what voice and what power and what privilege we might have to make the lives of others better. We should be the antithesis to the man in this story, this unjust judge who doesn't care and who doesn't fear God and doesn't care that this woman gets what she needs until it's going to cost him something. He only does the right thing in the end begrudgingly and for self-interested reasons. Don't be like that guy. Men, instead, be eager to be an advocate and helper for those who have need. Speak up. Don't be silent. And of course, that goes for each of us. And the third thing today is to remember the courage of the widow and to follow her example. Emulate what she does and who she is. Stand up for what's right. Be faithful in prayer. Fight for the good. Always pray. And don't give up. What I try to do toward the end of our time each Sunday when I'm up here is I try to give you just one thing, a story or an example that you'll just hold on to and you'll remember. Some preachers call it the hook. I like what Louis Giglio, the preacher in Atlanta, calls it. He calls it the left hook. Instead of like hooking like a fish, this is like the knockout punch. This is where you really bring the message home. You just really want the truth to seep in. So you just throw this left hook. You just knock them out with a story, with an example, something to remember and to think about as they go out into their week. And I think about today, what story could I tell about a woman of courage? And here's the thing. There are so many stories. Even if I just focused on my own life, if I just thought about my mom or my grandmothers or my mother-in-law or my sister or my sisters-in-law or my friends or teachers or coaches or mentors or bosses that I've had who are bold and courageous women, I could tell you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stories about the way that they were faithful, about the way that they did not give up, about the trials that they faced. When they met up with a system that was rigged against them, when the world around them wasn't fair and people were being mistreated and they kept showing up day after day after day after day. Maybe not with a vengeance like this woman in the story, maybe just in quiet faithfulness. And I think about those women and I think, which story would I choose? We could be here all day. And then I think about the stories that you know. I think about the stories of women in culture, maybe even women who aren't even women of faith, but they're doing bold and courageous things in the world. And we look at them and we say, what an example. What an encouragement. We need more of that. And so today, I'm not going to offer you a story for you to take away, because you're going to fill in the end of this message today with stories of the people that you know. You know a woman who reflects the heart of God and who stands up for people and who shows up every day. And they are the embodiment of the gospel. You know someone, maybe you are someone, who exhibits the never-ending, overwhelming, reckless love of God that will not give up on the people that they love. You know a story today. And so walk with that story and show honor and emulate their example and be like them. And for all of the women in the room who are living out these stories in your own life, keep doing what you're doing and don't give up. Thank you for your example. Thank you for the way that you're living out the good news. I want to invite us all today to consider who those women of faith are and how we can be like them and how we can follow in the footsteps of Jesus in the way that he lifted up these stories and the way that he drew our attention to women just like the woman in this story. And I want to encourage us to live out his way and to walk like him today and to love the people around us. And so as we go out from here today, that's the encouragement I want to give to you. May all of us have ears to hear the word of God and to never give up. Amen. May you be blessed today. Hug on the people around you, especially those ladies in your life, the women, your mothers, your sisters, your daughters. And let's show honor to whom honor is due. Let's stand and let's sing this song together.